Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Now he's isolated on Wendy. He goes right at him, just bowling into him, and he stuffs it down.
Butts Talk starts now.
144 to 118, a season high in scoring for San Antonio, who outscored the Bucks 74 to 47 in the second half.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, we talked about it earlier on the road trip that in the back of your mind, you know, the way it started in loss in Inglewood against the Clippers, I think a handful of us at least thought, this is reminded me of how it started last year with Doc Rivers. You had a five-game road trip. One of these games, you're like, okay, it just got away from us. You won a game early on that trip, and then you wrapped it up with losses. Almost identical to what we saw in this one. There's a lot that I've seen tossed out that, hey, the Bucks are just not a good road team. I mean, by the numbers, no, they are not. But there's more to it than they're not a good road team. I've heard a lot of discussion over fatigue. And look, I'm sure for one of the oldest teams in the league, a very, very strange schedule that the Bucks had these past 10 days, when you think about three lost days in New Orleans, all the travel that came with that, flying back home, playing the Miami Heat, literally arriving hours before you tipped off that game, winning, and then hitting the road again. Yeah, I'm sure that wears on you. But, you know, outside of that travel event last week, this is no different than what every other team in the league is dealing with. And as we have documented several times, I mean, the schedule's only going to pick up and increase in terms of the level of competition that you have, the amount of games you're going to have to cram in 2 days, especially with that postponed game. So if that's the challenge, it's only going to get worse. And I think these last two games, we have heard Doc Rivers as frustrated as I've heard him, just talking about the same issue, really, for most of this road trip, and that was the dribble penetration. And, you know, he made the point towards the end, too, that we have been a very good defense all season long. I don't want to lose sight of that, but we have been far from that in 3 out of 4 games on this road trip, and I don't know what it is. In real time, we still have to watch the film, but there's definitely something to it, and it is not meeting the level of expectations that we have for ourselves, and it's something that it cannot carry into this next week and what the Bucks have in front of them, because as I'm sure we'll go through again, you know, we kept preaching, hey, once you get to February, things pick up. Well, in 90 minutes, it's February, so it is right here for you. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. 26-20 on the season, and that's the other part, Brandon, is, you know, I mean, we're what, a week away removed from having the, hey, look, I know it's a tall hill to climb here, but it's not inconceivable that you could catch the Knicks or catch the Celtics. I'm starting to feel like that shore is getting further and further away, and I'm not going to say there's no chance of it, but it took a drastic hit this last week with this road trip.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, Justin. I think I got to put some of that blame on me because I think I mentioned there were only a few losses from the Knicks in the loss column. But yeah, I mean, you explained it very well. Frustrating, annoying, somewhat embarrassing loss tonight. I hated to see the 4-game road trip end with the stinker that they put up there tonight. 1-3 on the road trip, as you mentioned. And just in time for the schedule to get a bit tougher. But on the flip side of it, you know, as much as it sucked to see the Bucks and their defense and their point of attack, not, you know, drive and kick, just everything kind of falling apart defensively, you got to tip your cap to the Spurs. You just have to in games like this. 24 made threes. They almost shot 50% from three on 50 attempts. I mean, you got to at least,
I mean, yeah,
give them a little credit.
Victor Wembanyama was incredible. We shouldn't be surprised by that.
Correct. Keldon Johnson was fantastic in the first half.
But to your point of the 50% shooting, they're clean looks. And they got it because they're winning at the point of attack. I mean, it's everything we saw last year. And this team did such a great job of not doing that, you know, for to distill it down here. Everything they did last year, most everything they did last year, they did not do or stopped doing this year. And that was a big part of the defensive turnaround. They were better on the defensive glass. Perimeter defense was much better. They were containing at the point of attack. We've heard Doc Rivers talk about the defense were doing everything differently this year. And for the most part, they were. But, you know, he did, I forget what game it was, but recently a few of us had noticed this, but I was curious how he would answer it. I think it was against Utah, where he was asked, you keep saying your defense is totally different. What's different about it? And it was basically, well, we just want Giannis and Brooke Lopez by the basket. You know, like I looked back at last year, we talked about the transition stuff and everything else, but last year one of the things that stood out to him was, you know, the number of times that we would see Brooke Lopez closing out in the corners and on shooters, and we just figured, well, why? Keep him by the rim. We're going to have to rotate somebody else. I've seen a ton of that on this road trip where you see, why is Brooke Lopez going? And it's not a knock at Brooke. It's because of what's broken down in front of him defensively, but that's picked up. And, I mean, if you are in that camp, which I think we got someone we're going to check in with momentarily, I don't want to put words in his mouth. I think he's there of, I just don't trust this team. I can't buy into it. It's nights like tonight. Like they can come out and they can beat the Memphis Grizzlies on Sunday. They can beat the Thunder, win both of those games on the back-to-back, and do so in impressive fashion. But are we convinced that you're going to win against the Hornets and the Hawks to wrap up the week? Or are those two losses and just kind of undo what we saw? Because it's not to the level it was a season ago, but this week especially, it crept back to that, where you're taking a step forward, two steps back. And that's the frustrating part about what we've seen from this group really most of the season now, that it's not one step forward, two steps back all season long, but it just seems like every time it feels like you're starting to turn the corner. You're starting to push the boulder up the hill, and I think this is the top of the hill. You lose your footing, and you take another step backward, and that's where they've kind of been stuck for large parts of this season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let us not waste any more time. I have not heard from this individual in quite some time. I think I know the overall tone of his feelings. I may have put words in his mouth before without his knowledge when I said, I think I know how he's going to feel about this, but let's find out for certain here. Dick in Port Washington, you kick things off for us. What are the notes you got from this one?
All right. Well, first of all, I want to give you a compliment for not taking the easy comp out, this being tired stuff. This team is who we are. You know, we had a lot of rest early on and we didn't do well. At the end of February, we're going to be probably 500, maybe a game above it, possibly a game below it. March isn't going to get any better. We're flirting with the play-in tournament. Everyone else is coming up. I mean, Orlando's going to figure it out. But now they got Franz back. Miami is going to do something. Atlanta, we always have trouble with them. I've got them 3-9. In March, I didn't even want to look at because I was getting depressed looking at February.
I'll counter with this really quick.
Anybody?
Jalen Johnson's out for the year. So it's one big piece away.
Yeah.
There's other pieces,
though,
to your point.
They're shopping Bogdan right now, too.
Well, that's all right. The thing is, too, is that, you know, people that are hoping we're going to make a splash here within the next week, let's be realistic. Who do we have that anybody else will want?
Well,
and don't tell me Chris. Don't tell me Chris.
No, what you have is
500. He's 500, and he's got a player option for next year. He can also veto the trade.
He can't veto.
That's what I read.
No, he can't veto a trade. Well, but what you do have, real
okay?
Quick,
well, that's what's on the internet.
Well,
that's
what's
on the internet.
Well,
so
I mean, come on, Dan.
I didn't think so either. I thought. They said he's in his contract, but I think Beal's the only guy in the league that has that. Who's going to want these
guys,
and what
are
we going
to
get?
To answer your question, what they do have, and I mean, this is probably, this is the conversation for the rest of the week. What they have is the 2031 first-round pick that you can make unprotected. And look, everybody, most GMs, I should say that the pick that Phoenix traded to Utah, what, a week, 10 days ago, that was the most valuable asset on the market, an unprotected 2031 first-round draft pick. I would argue the Bucks' 2031 unprotected first-round pick is even more valuable than the Suns because of the age of this group, because 2031 is 6 years away. Like, this group is gone in 6 years. Giannis is 36 years old. So I think a lot of teams are looking at that pick and saying, who knows? We're, like, Phoenix, you want to say, hey, it's Phoenix. They can talk free agents into coming there. They have Devin Booker, who's younger than the Bucks stars. Like, maybe Phoenix is 500-ish or even better than that. The Bucks, I don't know. Like, look what happened before Giannis arrived. Giannis may be gone in 2031. That could be a very, very valuable pick. The conversation becomes, do you give that up, and what are you willing to give it up for? Because if when you're talking about the contracts, I agree with you, especially if you want to paint, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but all the discourse of, like, this guy's terrible, trade him. Well, okay, fine. If you can see that, you don't think other GMs can, and they're willing to take that, they'll take it with that draft pick, with that draft capital.
Right.
And, I mean, the other thing, I get your point on most everything the Bucks have to offer is going to run into next season with those player options. Most teams are targeting that summer as, look, we just need to have our books clear by that summer because that is an important free agent summer where guys like Luka Doncic are going to be in the market. We want money then if it means we get another asset in exchange.
Yeah, and you know, a couple points I want to just reiterate here, too, is that you talk about when Giannis is going to be gone. I got a prediction about what the NBA executives are saying about NBA Europe, okay? My prediction is he's going to be the centerpiece of getting that to go in Europe. He's going to be one of the players that will go there out of the NBA. Too old to play here as he usually does, but he could play there. Although he also says it's tougher there to play. If we can get anybody, the guy I would take would be Zach LaVine. I wouldn't take Butler. He's a cancer. Now, do you think is there any chance in hell we could get Zach to come or to trade for him?
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, I mean, yes, there's always a chance. It's going to take that first-round pick. And I think that's the...
Okay, so the first-round pick, Bobby, and they're not going to take Chris, but they might take Pat.
I mean...
Do you think they go for that?
It's tricky for me to get into who's moving off of a team when that team is paying me, but I would just say...
I'm sorry. I put you in a bad position.
Well, and no, I mean, it's fine. I wouldn't rule out anybody depending on the asset that you get back. You're going to have to make the salaries work. And Zach LaVine is making slightly less than the Jimmy Butler total. Jimmy was basically making the same as Dame, but slightly more. So you're still going to have a high dollar contract in there to make it work. And the other part is this, Dick. I mean, it's not only what can you do to improve your team, but like the starting point for the Bucks is, okay, if we strike out on making a big impact deal, at the very least, they have to get under the second apron. And they're with Chris on the team, it's about $6.1 million that you would need to shed to get under the second apron. So like at the very least, you're that close. You got to do that. And I think the way that you would do that, you know, you look at what Phoenix did, because you have guys that, as we just talked about, people will take. Like, fine, we'll take this salary, but you have to give us something else. The problem is the Bucks don't have those sweeteners. So do you look at something that like what Phoenix did and say, let's take this dollar, this 2031 first-round draft pick, and turn it into three quarters and say, okay, we're not going to give you the 2031 pick just to take – you know, a player that's making just over that $6 million range so we can get under the second apron, but we'll give you a less valuable first-round pick. I'm sure a team would still take that, but if you're the Bucks, like, is that what you want to do with your 2031 first-round pick?
Well, I'm under the impression that if we just if we get rid of Pat, that we'd be in the second apron would be all right.
Yeah, it's because it's $6.1 million yeah. that they got to clear.
Right. Right. And then he's got a contract for next year, too, right?
He's got a player option this summer, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, all right. Well, I'm sorry to be Mr. Gloom and Doom, but it could be a very sad spring. I'm just not comfortable. And every time I start building up, they just that. You know, what's that Greek guy that kept rolling the rock up the hill and kept rolling over him? I mean, that's what we are.
What if they do win? Like, it's a big if. What if they do win both these games, Sunday and Monday?
I'll do the wash for my wife for a month. All right?
So not very optimistic.
And then maybe you guys could come over and help me load the dryer.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
We'll consider it. Thanks for the call, Dick. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We haven't talked much about that first-round pick because, to me, that's the most interesting part of the whole deadline. You know, Jimmy Butler's going to get all the attention, and does Bradley Beal waive a no-trade to get moved on, like the Jimmy Butler trade? How many teams does it take to get that deal done? Is it a four-team or a five-team? Do we see De'Aaron Fox traded? Like, that's what everybody's focused on right now. But to me, under the radar, what do the Bucks do with that 2031 draft pick? Because there are two schools of thought, and I'm curious to see where the audience falls and where you fall, Brandon. So we'll get into that conversation after this. 144-118 final. The Bucks run off the floor by the Spurs tonight. Before we do talk a little bit about Thursday and the trade deadline and that 2031 first-round pick, just some numbers that stand out for this road trip. And again, you hear me preach many times, sample size importance. Four games is not a great sample size, but it's more the point of the eye test. And when you run to the numbers to see, was this as bad as it looked to me? And the overwhelming answer is yes. Defensively, out of 1 through 30, where would you guess the Bucks' defense ranked during those four games of the road trip?
Probably close to last.
What number?
I'll go 28.
It's 27th.
Yeah, close.
127.4 defensive rating in these games. Transition defense, dead last. Opponents were adding more than 8 points per 100 possessions. So you hear us talk about what per 100 possessions. In other words, if I give you the ball 100 times, how many points are you going to score? So the Bucks giving the opponent the ball 100 times, defensively, they were having 127.4 scored against them on those 100 possessions. And for the most part, yeah, for the most part, you see 95 to 100 possessions in a game. 8.2 points added in transition. So in other words, you're already scoring 127 on these 100 baskets or 100 possessions. How much are you adding through transition? So you're up to 135. And 29th, and again, this is my sample size is important. 29th during the same stretch is the Boston Celtics. But the Bucks are giving up 2 points more than the Celtics are, which, to explain it better here, teams are separated by less than a point when you sort this out, and then you get to the end, and the Bucks are more than 2 points worse than the Celtics. So it has been as bad as it looked defensively during these four games now. And, you know, I know, and Dick brought this up too, we started the show talking about the tired legs and how much is this was fatigue. Again, it was a very strange week for the Bucks. When you go back to the start of last week, where you arrive in New Orleans on Monday, you don't play a game, you leave New Orleans Thursday, for that game against the Miami Heat. You land at, what, 5 o'clock, and you play a game at 7:30. I get it. It was a strange week. You didn't really have a chance. You didn't have a chance to practice. You didn't really have a chance to do anything physically. Played a game, you won, and then you had to hit the road. I just hesitate to, well, it's a, you know, old team, tired legs, yada, 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 because the Bucks are not the only team that's dealing with this. And the other thing I'll add is coaches will tell you this a lot. The last game of a road trip, the first game of a homestand, like those are always tough games to keep. I don't want to say that motivation, but just to keep things on track, because you can see the end on the horizon. You can see, okay, we're about to go back home. Maybe you let things slip a little bit. The start of a homestand, maybe you weren't quite ready for, oh, yeah, that's right, we slept in our own bed last night. So those are the types of games where you can see this, but not to the level that we saw here. That's, I think, the troubling part for this group, that sub-500 teams just seem to be the kryptonite for the Bucks this season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's do this. We went a little long with Dick. Let's take another break here, get back on track. When we return, I do want to get your thoughts on how you approach these next few years. In other words, what do you do with the 2031 draft pick? So we'll open it up to the audience, and we'll get Brandon's thoughts on that as well after this on Bucks Talk. All right, 144 to 118 is our final in San Antonio. The Spurs take down the Bucks tonight. And a 1-3 road trip for the Bucks, almost lining up identically with that road trip last year that started the Doc Rivers tenure, where they went 1-4. You were very hopeful you could go 3-1 on this road trip, if not better. But instead, a 1-3 trip here. And now you're getting into that meaty part of the schedule that we talked about for so long. Of, hey, once you get to February, things start to change. We're here. And 26-20 now in the season. So we mentioned this earlier on the show, Brandon, but in terms of assets and what the Bucks have to work with, you can look at contracts and say, well, who would want this player? Or who's going to be willing to take that guy? When you throw in something like a 2031 unprotected first-round pick for a team, and look, it's not – when I say who knows where this team will be in 2031, it's not even to suggest, well, Giannis is going to have to be traded. It's just the sheer math. He's going to be 36 years old when we get to that point. So at the very least, you're 36 years old. You're on the downswing in your career. That's the uncertainty that's coming there. Well, it's already an older group. Kicking the can down the road for 6 years means most of that group is going to be gone. So I think teams would definitely look at that and be salivating to say, yeah, we'll take that 2031 unprotected first-round draft pick. Like, we're willing to take back this contract or that contract or that contract if you're willing to kick that thing in. And for the Bucks, I think that's going to be the source or the center of most of this conversation this week. Is, are we, number one, willing to move on from that? And secondly, what do we have to get for that 2031 first-round pick? So just really quickly here, Brandon, this year, the 2025 first-round pick for the Bucks is gone. That is going to either the Brooklyn Nets or the New Orleans Pelicans. Next year, your first-round pick, it is a pick swap with the Pelicans. So you have a first-round pick, you just can't trade it. And if the Pelicans, if you finish with a worse record than the Pelicans, you're taking the Pelicans pick. Like, the Pelicans could somehow totally rebuild, get the number one record in the league next year. You're getting the 30th overall pick, if that's the case. 2027 first-round pick is going to the Pelicans. 2028 first-round pick, you can't trade, because it's part of a pick swap with the Portland Trailblazers. 2029 first-round pick is going to the Blazers. And the 2030 first-round pick is a pick swap with the Portland Trailblazers. So knowing all of that, and by the way, second-round picks, if you're wondering what they have, even less than what we just said with the first-rounders. So knowing all that, what do you do with the first-round pick in 2031? You're the GM. Is it off the table?
That's scary.
Or are you willing to use it?
For me, Justin, I'm just not using it. And I know, like, we're never going to have a duo. Really, we're never going to have a big three of what we have right now. I think most Bucks fans will probably agree with that. And Giannis and Dame and Chris Middleton, and shout out to Chris tonight who had a fantastic game. But I just don't know what's out there, Justin, right now that would make this, that would turn this team into, you know, that would put the fears of fans aside of not bowing out of the playoffs early. I just don't. I still believe in this team, and I know tonight is a terrible night to say that out loud, but I mean it. And you read off the numbers, and I understand the efficiency and the per 100. It's not great, but to me, and again, I had this in my notes before we got on the air. It felt like in these three losses on the road this week, Justin, that it was about a 5 to 6 minute stretch where they just let go of the rope and they tumbled down the hill. Now, could that be not, you know, accurate? Sure. That's just what it felt like. Felt like that on Saturday last weekend when they played the Clippers. It was the first 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. Boom. You know, that game's over. Third quarter against Portland. Boom. You know, that game's over. And then tonight they get outscored by 15 points in the third quarter, which felt like a good 5 to 6 minute stretch. I just don't know if there's anything out there right now. It's definitely not Jimmy Butler. It's 100% not Bradley Beal. And if it's Zach LaVine, what are you giving up? Because it's going to cost more than just that pick. And I don't want to give up the names that are being tossed out there. I just don't. You saw without Bobby Portis, because that's another one that Bucks Twitter and Bucks social media fans love to throw out. Look what you did. Look what happened tonight. You could barely get Brooke a break. And when you did, you got destroyed. So I just think that this is the ship that they're going to have to go down with. I think you've got to give this one a chance, and I'm not willing to part and with.
I would say this too. Regardless of what happens, even if there's a move, they are not going to go into the post All-Star break. They're not going into the playoffs with just two bigs. So even if there's a move that involves one of your bigs, there's another one at that position coming back or something. Like, they know, and like as you pointed to, these four games highlighted, if you didn't already know, but they know we can't do that. We can't just have Giannis and Bobby or just Giannis and Brooke Lopez as our bigs, because it means, well, we have to play small for extended periods of time.
Yeah, and like Jason puts in the YouTube chat, for anyone wondering if we need to make a big move or not, I think it's pretty clear now. I disagree. And thank you, Jason, for tuning in on YouTube. I just don't, Justin. And is that me being, you know, maybe I'm wrong, you know, maybe I am, but we have yet to see this team consistently play together. I think if there's a move to be made, it's first off, it doesn't include the 2020 or the 2031, excuse me. I think if it's anything, it's getting under the second apron. It's a minor move like that. I don't think that there's anybody out there, and we've seen this before. Like, you and I have had this conversation. How long did it take for this to work with Dame? Like, it's still a work in progress.
But I would,
like, if they go out and get player X, it doesn't mean that by March everything's clicking. I mean, PJ Tucker wasn't a very big acquisition in 2021, but he was just what they needed.
Yes, it was.
Well, but I'm speaking for, like, you know, name recognition.
Yeah,
like, they didn't go out there.
Yeah, he was one of the top guys on the trade market.
Right, but would you put PJ Tucker in 2021 on the same level of what some of these other, like, of a Jimmy Butler this year or a Zach LaVine? I don't think that's accurate. Correct?
Let's get in one more break and finish that thought and get to the other point that you brought up about the second apron, because it is tied to that first round pick. So we'll get to that conversation next. All right, so the PJ Tucker trade, it was a big trade for the Bucks because
it was
that team was that specific piece away, and you had other very notable teams that were interested in it as well. That's why it took a lot more for the Bucks. I mean, we think about the salaries that they cobbled together. They also had, I think, a 2023 unprotected first-round pick in there, and he paid immediate dividends. Is it as clean this year to say, well, just get a PJ Tucker type and it'll propel you to a championship? I don't know. You know, like, you knew with that team, this is exactly what we're missing. So it's not even the one piece away conversation. The Bucks were that specific piece away. Are they one piece away? Are they two pieces away? Do we need to just give it more time and you need this role player to come in here? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. But your point about the second apron, I mean, I agree, and I've said all along, look, objective number one is to get under the second apron. Because if you do that, it opens up everything. Well, not every. It opens up so much more for you.
Yeah, I agree.
So if the Bucks finish this season in the second apron, and the trade deadline is the only way to get under that, because you can continue to, you have until the end of the league year, which is June 30th, but can't make any trades past the deadline. It's not like, well, we can just waive this guy or stretch this guy. There's no one like that that's going to take you underneath the second apron. And even then, you're stretching somebody, part of that salary counts on your cap this year. So there's no way other than trades to get there. If you are in the second apron as of July 1st, it means your 2032 first-round draft pick is frozen, and you would have to get under the second apron for three of the next four seasons to unfreeze that pick. So if it's frozen, you can't trade it, right? Even when it becomes available, like we said, they can trade the 2031 now. Theoretically, in the summer, you could trade the 2031 and the 2032 pick. You can't do that if you're in the second apron this summer. That pick's frozen. If you don't get out of the second apron for what we just said, three of the next 4 years, not only is that pick frozen, it gets kicked to the back of the first round automatically. So even if the Bucks finish with the worst record in the league in 2031, congratulations. Your 2032 second round or first round pick is number 30 overall. So that's what's at play. The fact that you would be able to use a taxpayer mid-level contract this summer. Can't do that if you're in the second apron. All you can do is give out the veteran minimum contracts. You can do other things, too, like in the second apron, when you make trades, you can't aggregate. You can only take back dollar for dollar. If you're not in the second apron, you can take back, I think it's 120% more, and you can start to aggregate deals. So it just changes everything you can do with your roster. You need to get under the second apron. That is the number one objective for this group. But I don't think there's any way to do it without using that 2031 first-round pick, because you need some type of sweetener. There are teams that are willing to take on salaries. Doesn't even matter who the player is. Like the Pistons have already said, the Thunder did this for years. The Rockets did it a couple of years ago, too. The Nets have done it, where if you're one of those teams, you say, okay, we'll take contracts. Even if there's 2 years left on it, we'll take it back. We need assets. Whether it's a young player or a first-round pick, something, we need that. Now, could theoretically the Bucks throw in a young player? Sure. But are you really going to throw in A.J. Green? Are you going to throw in Andre Jackson Jr.? I mean, what's that? Well, it depends on the deal. There's no hard and fast, you shouldn't trade this player. But what's that going to get you? So that's the challenge. It's going to take your first-round pick. So to me, the question becomes, do you do what Phoenix did? Do you say, let's take this asset that might be the best thing that's out there. Let's take it and let's, you know, turn the old analogy of turning a dollar into three quarters. Let's get three first-round picks that are clearly inferior picks. I mean, those picks the Suns got, they're first-round picks, but it's in name only. Like, one of them is going to be number 30 this year or 29 because it is the worst of picks between, I think, the Cavs, the Rockets, and the Jazz. So congratulations. You're getting the Cavs pick this year, which is going to be 29 or 30. Do you do something like that and say, we're not willing to give you the 2031 pick of ours just to house this contract and get us under the second apron, but we recognize we got to give you something else, so we're going to flip this and turn it into multiple picks, and we'll give you one or two of those that aren't quite as enticing. Again, I think a team would take that. But did you mismanage the asset, if that's the case? So ideally, if you're the Bucks, I mean, it's threading the needle, but you would love to have a, let's get back an impact player, let's get under the second apron, and we're going to give up the contracts to match, and we're also giving up this 2031 unprotected first-round pick. The bigger question, though, is what type of player is that? It doesn't even have to be a specific name. I don't know. You know, it's we've heard all the same names over and over. Zach LaVine's and Bradley Beal's and Jimmy Butler's. I don't know what that does for this team and what the fit is. But I would say this, Brandon, and this is where I am curious if we disagree or not. I am of the mindset that 2031 pick, yeah, I'm not married to it, because so long as you have Giannis on your team, you have to exhaust every resource and every asset you have to make this team better and reward him with the loyalty he's rewarded you with in staying here, because we've seen what it's like when he's not here and what it's likely going to be like when he's gone. So, yeah, you're really going to be digging a hole and saying, well, it's going to be really lean whenever Giannis decides to retire and he's no longer playing for the Bucks. But let's make the most of it while he's here. Like, I hear the 2031, oh, you can't do that because of this. And the reality is, none of these guys are going to be here. And you're probably, by the time we get to that 2031 draft, you're already going down the road of rebuilding and trying to get back to that level. So, in my mind, as each day passes, I just lean further and further to, yeah, it's on the table for me, because we have Giannis. Most importantly, Giannis, but you got Giannis and Damian Lillard. So let's do what we can with that while we have those two guys here.
Yeah, I mostly do agree with you, Justin. I go back to the point that you made, like, who is that player? I mean, that's where I'd get caught up, because if it's any of the players that are currently being rumored by multiple sources inside the league right now, the insiders for the league, that doesn't move the needle for me for that pick. And I'm with you, and I'm with a lot of the people in our YouTube chat, especially Colin and Daniel, who are saying, like, Giannis.
Let's say you don't make any moves. Do you think this team right now is good enough? Is at the same level as the Cavs, the Celtics, the Knicks?
I do. Like, not right this moment, right? Like, not after a 144-118 loss.
Then you don't think they're good enough. You think there's a chance they can be good enough.
I think they can get there, yeah. I think they can get there. And you and I have talked about it. Like, this team is just starting to kind of carve itself out. Like, A.J. Green and Ryan Rollins and Gary Trent Jr. and Chris Middleton coming off the bench. Like, that's a fairly new-ish thing. Like, that just didn't start, you know, what? 3 weeks ago, a month ago, like, and maybe it's the
I get it.
You know, maybe
they've been good for the Bucks, but it's also when we're talking about getting to the level of those teams have better players than that in the role. And it's not to say they can't eventually get there, but those teams, their role players, their seventh and eighth guys, those are better players than what we're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree, but I will also say that Giannis is better than anybody on any one of those teams. And I would even put Damian Lillard is probably better or on par with a lot of those other players' ones and twos. Would you agree with that?
I mean, yeah, the Giannis for sure. The Damian Lillard conversation, sure. But
it's debatable, yeah.
But again, like, but you need more than just those two guys. And that right now is the biggest thing that we're up against is
yes,
you have promising players. But, you know, 46 games into the season, none of us can sit here and say, yes, based on what I've seen, they are at the level of the Celtics, the Cavs, the Knicks, the teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. For me, I completely agree wholeheartedly when you talk about, you know, paying off the loyalty that Giannis has paid off for us. For me, it's just got to be a no-doubt, you know, move that completely fits where this team is at, that's on the Giannis timeline, you know, that is going to go into this, fit into this team, like, you know, seamlessly. And I don't know if that, based on what we've seen with Damian Lillard, I don't know if that exists right now. And is it worth mortgaging your one asset that you have in the future for, you know, something that I guess, is it worth it? Yeah. Especially if it pays off like it paid off for P.J. Tucker. But I just don't know if that move is out there. Now, I trust John Horst. So if that move is made and he does go out there and does execute for that 2031 and it turns into, you know, somebody that's going to fit this team and fit the current timeline that we're set on, then absolutely. But I just don't know. I don't for the names that we know, and again, there's probably 100 more names that are being tossed around. For the names that we currently know right now, Justin, I don't think there's a needle mover in any of those.
Well, it's going to be an interesting week, not only for the schedule that the Bucks have, again, a back-to-back starting Sunday at home against the Grizzlies, then on the road in Oklahoma City, but the trade deadline Thursday afternoon as well. 2 o'clock Central Time is that trade deadline. Sunday night, though, Bucks and Memphis Grizzlies, 7:30 tip, and be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.